Blog Talk Radio.
What up, world? Welcome to another edition of the Bloody Knuckle Show, BK Show 1 on Twitter. I just tweeted it out, and I appreciate the retweets. I hope you guys are listening. I'm sorry I didn't get a link up in time, but this is the Bloody Knuckle Show, post-fight UFC 197. We saw two of arguably the pound-for-pound greatest fighters in the world, one making a comeback and one doing the damn thing that he always does and finally earning my – I mean, he always has had my respect, but finally earning my respect as one of the best ever and one of the best ever, leaving us with all the question marks that he's been leaving us with for years because he did not look too great tonight against subpar competition. So much to talk about, maybe even a hot mic moment I caught on the pay-per-view, which I invested $49 in. I don't know if I'll ever buy another UFC. I did buy the Conor McGregor one, but once again, I love the HD and all that, but it just shows me why I stream fights, go out and watch them. On the line with me tonight, to keep it short, because we have so much to talk about. He is the co-host with the most, the man who definitely did not pay for the fights tonight. We all know Andrew Meredith is either the king of streaming or the king of going out and watching them. He is the official king of Rochester, Mr. Paychecks himself. Slap your mama in the butt. Wait a minute. John Jones had his middle fingers up to DC. Cool. Y'all know what's up. It's Mr. Percy Love, Andrew Meredith. What's up, homie?
Yo, 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 what it do? Very excited, Ryan. A, it's Saturday night. B, day two of the MMA weekend, the fight-filled weekend we had today. And, Ryan, real quick, I do want to throw in there, yes, as you all know, I streamed it. I streamed most of the events. It is what it is. I mean, I could have bought it, but you know what? To tell you the truth, my apartment's just
it's not
too
worth
small. But I do have to say, Ryan, from someone who streamed that, I was very disappointed that I couldn't hear the DC commentary. It was a decent stream, a little choppy here and there.
Great commentary, man. Great commentary.
I didn't get any of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that, it
and
does
I'll
take
give
away
you a
from
breakdown
it.
Of that. Yeah.
So, I mean, look at that. I mean, streaming's good, but this... I'm sorry,
yeah,
this was an event.
This
was an event, though. I do have to say, going into the day, this was one, Ryan. I know you paid for it, but, I mean, John, two championship fights, two of the best pound-for-pound fighters, Anthony Pettis and Henan Barao, a fight we've been waiting to see for the ages. Even touchy-feely got knocked out on the card. But, I mean,
yeah,
this was a good
Henan
one
Barao,
to invest on. Not Henan Barao, Edson Barboza. But this was a good one to invest on. I wish I could have saw it on pay-per-view.
Yeah, definitely on pay-per-view. I got to say, I do love it on pay-per-view. I've never seen it live, but I've heard it's great live, but a lot of people love it better, you know, on their couch watching it. And if I could afford it, I would definitely – I mean, I guess I could afford it if I wanted to. And I'm not going to lie, like, I probably will be watching – I probably will buy UFC 198 because it's just such a stacked card. And, you know, $49.99, I just feel like for that card, it's definitely worth it. I took the risk on this card. I usually only buy, like, the McGregor cards and stuff like that. But, I mean, I got to say that, you know, I definitely enjoyed not having to deal with a stream. I wish that I got a little bit more back in my investment. And Andrew, I had a crazy idea while I was sitting there watching. You know what? I was thinking about it. What if the UFC, I mean, don't worry, folks. We're going to get into all the fights and all the crazy, because a lot went down tonight. But this is part of it. So I just had to throw this out there. And Dana White, this one's for you, my brother. I don't know if this would help. If this would help the UFC or hurt it, but what if you could have one selection where you could buy the whole pay-per-view, and maybe, you know, it was, you know, $49.99, the regular price or whatever, something like that. Or you had a selection where you could buy each fight, but maybe they're a little more expensive. You buy each, definitely the main event would have to be more expensive, way more expensive for you to do it this way. But let's say you wanted to see only Anthony Pettis, and you pay $10 for that fight, and then the co-main event, you pay $15 for that fight, and, you know, maybe it ends up being a little bit cheaper than buying the whole pay-per-view. But what if you could just buy one fight at a time and kind of, you know, pick and choose which fights you wanted to buy? I just feel like that could be maybe a wave of the future. Like, what if you, like me, I got off of work. I honestly missed the first fight and most of the Robert Whittaker fight, and I still bought the event. So I missed two fights. So what if I got back and said, you know what? What if I'm a huge Jon Jones fan or Conor McGregor fan, or even these girls who love Ronda Rousey and they don't want to watch 2 hours of MMA? What if I just wanted to pay $20 to see the main event and I had that money to spend? I'm just saying, it could be the wave of the future. Like, what if you just wanted to throw $20 to see the co-main event and the main event or something like that, and you split the price in half instead of getting the whole pay-per-view? I just think it's kind of an idea to think about. There's definitely a way you could break it down better. It's just a one-night thought. But if you could break it down to where the money would make sense, I think that would definitely be a great idea.
I honestly, Ryan, I do like it. I think that really does help with getting people like me or the streamer market. There could be a flip side, though, like maybe not as many people would order the pay-per-view.
Would buy the overall pay-per-view, yeah.
But honestly, all in all, I do love that idea. And honestly, as a fight fan, I would love it. And that would also make the UFC not have to put on shit cards. They would have to put on cards that, all right, I want to see all these fights. And, Ryan, let's dive into it. Speaking of the fights, all of them, let's start with the first one I would like to start with.
We got to start with Jones,
Anthony Pettis, let's build up to it. Let's do a little reverse. Let's trim some of the fat real quick. Anthony Pettis, Edson Barboza, we won't spend a ton on of it. This is a fight I've wanted to see forever. I was a little disappointed in it. Just off of the way Anthony Pettis just kind of got destroyed by Edson, and we didn't see a knockout. But, Ryan, this is Anthony Pettis at this point. He just looks soft, like he could not take a punch.
Yeah.
All in all, I got to ask you, I think he's done. Where does he go from here? Is the show officially over? Has it been canceled?
It's been canceled, bro. All I was thinking that whole time was, it's time for Anthony Pettis to go to Bellator. Like, I was like, I think I might have tweeted it out. What's next for Anthony Pettis? Like, oh, what is he going to drop to 145? Like, can his body even take that? And it's you know, it's so obvious now at this point. He just cannot compete at that elite 155-pound level. Edson Barboza was on a pretty bad losing streak coming into this fight, as I remember.
And he's not particularly tough either, you know what I mean? He has a glass chin, too.
Yeah, broken down very easily. And this was a tailor-made matchup, because we all know the UFC loved themselves some Anthony Pettis. And this was a matchup where they were saying, this is a fight where Pettis can come out. Even in that first round, it looked like Pettis was confident. And then those leg kicks started coming in. One thing about having the pay-per-view, you can fucking hear those leg kicks. And the bruise that was on Anthony Pettis' leg, it completely took his heart away. We saw people smother him, Dos Anjos, Eddie Alvarez. But this is the first time I can remember where he just got completely outstruck by an opponent. And that's lights out for Anthony Pettis. It's one thing when you get out-wrestled or, you know, whatever, you know, like pushed against the cage and
you get hit too hard
rounds
by RDA.
Yeah, but it's another thing when a guy who's clearly gotten outstruck himself and you could take his heart away, just completely dominates you for three rounds. Showtime is over, ladies and gentlemen. And really just thinking about it, Joe Rogan with his usual, I love Joe Rogan's podcast, but his usual commentary saying stuff like, what if this was when Anthony Pettis had the title? Imagine a five-round fight where Edson Barboza would look this good. That was one of the things he said.
Talked a little too much before that.
Yeah, you might have got the wrong strain, buddy. I've never heard Joe. Joe was very off tonight, especially Cormier outshined him so much in the main event. But, like, it was just like, Joe, this is clearly not that Anthony Pettis, and it's clear that Anthony Pettis just had kind of that shining moment. Like, it's not like he was a dominant champion. It's not like Edson Barboza went in there and dominated GSP, and it was like, what if this is when GSP was champion? And no, this was a guy who had the belt for literally one event, and then he got beat. Like, why the hell are you still bringing up the fact that Anthony
Pettis
was
champion? What if this was Frankie
champion?
Edgar? What if this was
like,
Vincent Henderson when he was on his run? That's hilarious, dude.
And
I'm
it wasn't
sorry,
even a
hilarious run.
He was like a one-time. It's like saying, what if this was
what if it was Alistair Overeem he just beat like this?
It's commentating a Forrest Griffin fight and being like, what if this is when Forrest had the title? He had the title for one fight. Like, what are you talking about, Joe Rogan? But Anthony Pettis honestly looked horrible. And in our fantasy matchmaking later on, the fights were like, I mean, you remember earlier, you know, we always wanted to see that Pettis.
This was one of the fights
rivalry.
I wanted to see more than anything, though, was Pettis Barbosa.
Yeah.
He's got to leave his camp at least, right, Ryan? How can you judge? Is he still with the
camp?
Oh,
no, and he did. That's what happened.
He left?
They talked about it. Showtime
he needs to go
went
back
down.
Then.
He went back. No. He did a half training camp in his camp, and then he went down to Greg Jackson.
Retarded.
And
fully commit to Greg.
He had a whole day with Donald Cerrone, and they posted all these pictures of them with guns and on surfboards. It was so corny that the funniest response, and it was on Bleacher Report, Nate Diaz just said, fucking nerd. That was his response to it. That was Nate's response. And it was just so clear, these two guys reaching so hard. But Greg Jackson was in the corner, and Duke Rufus, his usual coach, was also in the corner for this fight. He had two super coaches and still could not look impressive. Like, you're a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt that submitted Benson Henderson. Why are you not trying to go? I think he did go for one takedown. But why are you not trying to go for another takedown? Get this fight to the ground. Do something different. He had some good wheel kicks he was throwing and stuff like that, but they were out of desperation. Like, why aren't you switching stances, doing more? He just looked horrible. Showtime is over, Andrew. I expected a lot more from it, but I expected a lot more from Anthony Pettis versus Eddie Alvarez, and we did not get anything there. Showtime just does not have any more battles in him where he's just going to go and, you know, go look like the old Showtime because he is done. I think he's completely done. I don't think he's a guy the UFC is going to get let go of because he's so marketable, but I don't think he would survive in Bellator either. I think he would get destroyed by a lot of Bellator lightweights. It's pretty sad to say about a guy that was on the Wheaties box.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, the first MMA fighter on a Wheaties box. I think he never recovered maybe mentally from that broken orbital bone and that RDA beatdown. But it really shows, Ryan, when we think about it, last thing I'll say about Mr. Pettis. He looks good when he's, when he gets the flashy knockouts or close, but when it gets gritty, and it turns into a war, and he's getting hard, hit hard and whatnot. That's when he brings the worst out of him. He's not that good in a war. He flashes, but when it gets gritty, that's when we see him kind of crumble.
He's the guy that looks the best at the wrestling meet, like before the meet start.
Yeah.
Like, you look at him, and you're like,
he looks good in pads,
shit.
But can't play ball.
Yeah, look at that guy. And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, exactly. He's that linebacker that's jacked, and then all of a sudden just completely sucks. And you're like, what the fuck happened? Yeah, it was just a horrible performance by him. And I think he might have to get that leg removed after that fight. Edson Barboza definitely showed he's back, but, I mean, how many times has he showed that, and then it's like, he's not really back. No, it was just another Edson victory that may lead to nowhere.
Yeah, I got to agree with that. And then, Ryan, next guy we have to touch on, someone who we respected him, but kind of laughed about him just because he is a 125-pound champ. You do respect him. Put some respect on his name. Call him the Birdman. Put some respect on my name. That's what Demetrius Johnson was saying. And I'll give it to you. Both of us had Henry. Henry was the one guy I always thought he was going to beat him. And the only time Mighty Mouse ever looked that way in his whole career, the worst I've ever seen him.
I got a technical breakdown for this one.
But the first time, was when he was fighting John Donson, and Donson dropped him like three times, and he came back and won the fight. That is something I've kind of looked past as well. Oh, he got lucky. No, that is great heart. And for him to destroy Sujuto Henry like that in the first round, it's finally there. This really does push him up way through my top five pound-for-pound fighters. He's definitely in my top five.
I think he's the best right now.
Regardless, with how he's looked, with Conor coming off the loss and Ronda with the loss, he's at least one or two with John Jones not looking as impressive. He is up there. This guy, I'm finally starting to respect him and just appreciate the greatness when he fights. It's not always like this, but this is a guy, Ryan, this is the second really fast dismantling we've seen out of a 125er who, aren't known for their finish, because of the strength, but he destroyed, I forget his name, the Brazilian guy who's been fighting forever, not Brazilian, but little
Benavidez.
Benavidez, and then, he ended Benavidez with that KO, but Ryan, you got to see it. Yeah, let me get your technical breakdown. We talk about wiped out divisions. When you look at it, this guy with him dead, I don't know if anyone's wiped out a division harder than Demetrius Johnson has at the flyweight.
It's clear as day, and they just said they were bringing it up on Fox. I'll get into the technical in 1 second. But they were talking about, I thought Rashad Evans had a great point. I'm surprised he can still speak, but I guess he still has that motor function in him. But he was saying, and I completely agree with this, it is time for Demetrius to go back up to 135.
Yeah.
He lost his last fight there, and guess who he lost to? Dominic Cruz, the champion, and arguably the only other guy that has his technical ability. Mighty Mouse, I don't want to say he's like Floyd Mayweather because he doesn't have that personality. He's the complete opposite. He's the nerdiest guy you can see. He's making all his money off of that gaming system. I forget. Not Xbox, but now he's on a new thing where you watch him play games. Yeah, I have no idea.
Alien software.
But Dominic Cruz is, the other guy that everyone was talking about. Dominic has the exact opposite personality. He's cool as fuck, great on the mic, and his ring IQ is off the charts. And everyone likes to say, oh, John Jones, he was ring rust. Dominic Cruz beat fucking TJ Dillashaw off 3-year ring rust with 2 knee surgeries. That is the super fight for Mighty Mouse to take now, or at least he needs to go up to 135 and test the waters and then maybe fight Dominic Cruz. But I got to say this, I was so impressed by this. It was clear that Henry Sejudo could have, and if I was Henry Sejudo, I would have pulled the Chael Sonnen, came forward, but because Mighty Mouse has such great footwork, it was hard for him to do it, but it was clear that he could easily get a takedown. So what Mighty Mouse did, instead of trying to, which he usually will do, he is great in the clinch, but he will usually pick people apart, kind of use his footwork. If he did that, Henry Sejudo probably would have been able to you know, double leg him, get him to the ground, kind of grind him out. We saw how quick he got up. But Henry Cejudo probably could have pulled some takedowns. Instead, and Mighty Mouse said he did not have a game plan. I do not agree with that. I saw the game plan from a mile away. He clinched up with Henry Cejudo, and the way that he was throwing his knees from the right, and then he would pop and get to the left, and he would grab the left arm so Henry Cejudo couldn't pop down for a takedown, and he would throw a knee, and then he would pop over back to the right, or maybe he would throw two from the right and then pop over to the left. He was never in the same spot, but he kept the clinch the whole time, kept the clinch. And this way, Henry Cejudo could not, you know, use the distance. He's an Olympic wrestler, and get a double leg and take him down. He could not find Mighty Mouse in a clinch, which is so hard to believe, because in a clinch, someone is standing right in front of you. But Mighty Mouse is so smart. He knew he had to keep moving in a clinch. And Henry Cejudo overrated his chin. He said, you know, I think I could take a few of these knees and keep going and, you know, try to throw uppercuts and try to maybe get a takedown. Henry Cejudo should have been diving at Demetrius Johnson's legs. But Demetrius Johnson showed. Everyone thought, oh, 125, you know, it's not going to be knockouts. No, he does have knockout power too. And that's something I think he's added to his game because he never had it before.
Yeah.
And he's shown now he does have it. But the fact that he implicated that clinch on a wrestler, you know, like he out-hand-fought a wrestler and got the inside position, and the way he moved inside the clinch, it was just a thing of art. I mean, if a guy who fights Muay Thai and lives in the clinch watches that, you got to say, I mean, Mighty Mouse, the way he can just, you know, John Jones is one of the best fighters ever in a clinch. Anderson used to have a great clinch, but the way Mighty Mouse can move and disappear from spot is just so amazing. Right now, I think he's the best guy on the planet, even though I love Dominic Cruz, and Dominic Cruz has better opponents, just because Mighty Mouse's IQ and the way he's dominated that division. I think he's beaten 7 out of the 10 top 10 guys. I mean, that is obliterating a division. But, hey, I mean, he just beat an Olympian, which is, you know, I don't know if we can no longer say he hasn't fought anybody, John Dodson, Henry Cejudo. But Ronda Rousey also beat an Olympian. You know, I think it was Sarah McMahon. And everyone always talks about Ronda never fought any opposition. Well, I think we can also say that about Mighty Mouse. That
didn't
division
beat
is pretty weak.
Champ too, twice, by the way, all those haters.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's tough for me. I can say he's, like, the best fighter on the planet, but I also want to see him challenge himself. When they asked him, he was like, well, I'm just trying to pay my bills. I think that's where Mighty Mouse makes the mistake. He should have got on the microphone and said, yeah, I'll go up and wait. I'll beat anybody's ass. Instead, he was like, nope, I'm happy. I'm content. I'm just trying to pay my bills. I think it would be one of the best strategic fights ever if he fought Dominic Cruz. I think it would just be so beautiful to watch.
I have to agree. I do have to agree. I'd love to see him fight Dominic. As of this point, there's clearly no 125er. And flip side, look at it this way. I mean, if Mighty Mouse does lose down the road, he would much rather lose to a Dominic Cruz. But I could see Greg Jackson. That just sounds so Greg Jackson-esque. Just stay in your lane, stay at 125, keep destroying people. But
I got a question, Andrew.
One thing, I want to say before this question, Ryan, I got to say, Mighty Mouse, I've been thinking about it. Doesn't he kind of, his quickness, his speed, he reminds me of Speedy Gonzalez, the old cartoon in the
movie.
He
never stops moving.
It's like Speedy Gonzalez.
Yo, check this out. He beat that rushing guy. And this isn't my question, but he beat that Russian guy, I forget his name, in the title fight, and the Russian guy tested positive for EPO. That's the shit that Lance Armstrong tested positive for.
Oh, wow.
It's the out-cardio people, and it was a 5-round decision. and Mighty Mouse out-cardioed him. Wow. He out-cardioed another 125-pounder on EPO. That is just fucking crazy. But, Andrew, my question is this. Why isn't Mighty Mouse a draw? If Mighty Mouse was a ghetto black dude who had some crazy story and got shot before or something like that, or if he just would talk some shit, is he just so nerdy? Is there any way this guy can ever become a draw? Like, is there anything that the UFC can do to change people's opinion on wanting to watch Mighty Mouse? I want to watch him now, but the casual fan.
Yeah, for the casual fan, it's tough because, I mean, let's just face it, he doesn't have that fight-selling personality, you know what I mean, which is he's one of the best athletes on the planet. And you're right, Ryan, if he talked like Floyd or if he, you know, predicted knockouts, no one could touch me, talk shit, he would probably be a huge draw. So sadly, since he doesn't have that personality, nice, very nice, humble, smart guy, doesn't talk a lot of shit, which is actually probably pretty smart.
Why doesn't that sell?
I mean, it's just basically, you know, looking at his fight, he doesn't get you hyped up about it.
Yeah,
I mean,
because
just
it's fighting and you don't want a guy like that.
Yeah, I mean, look at the sports. I mean, just look at the way it's respected, but it's not going to grip headlines. And I think the other thing that hurts it, Ryan, this was going to be my other one because that was kind of obvious, and it is what it hurts, something you were just talking about, though, with Dominic Cruz. He hasn't really – Henry Cejudo, this was the first time in a while I was excited about a Dominic – or about a Mighty Mouse
fight.
It's
one of the reasons I bought the pay-per-view.
Yeah, just because
really
it's
was.
A great competitor. And something you said to me before the fight, I want to see a rivalry. We thought we had one with Dennis Bermudez, but he beat him down too bad in the second fight, knocked him out in a minute. I think a lot of it hurts because there's not – he doesn't – If they were able to get that rival, that guy in there in Epic War, I think that's what it's missing. You know what I mean? Just that epic rival that you were talking about before, or an opponent that people are like, I want to see this. Because, I mean, 125 is not a lot
now
of...
After McGregor.
Yeah, and 125, Ryan, it's not like they have a lot of people that are like, I watched a lot of his fights. So, Ryan, that's why I think you're spot on. You got to move him up to 135 to Dominic Cruz for him to be a big draw. And then if he was able to beat Dominic Cruz, two belt champion, he won in light or in flyweight and in 135, like that would, then everyone would be like, this guy held the belt in two divisions. I got to turn in to see him fight. He's one of the best. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I completely agree. And he would have to be considered one of the best ever if he was able to do that. And at 135, you have T.J. Dillashaw, you have Uriah Faber. Who knows how? You know Uriah would get a shot if Mighty Mouse had the belt. Of course, he gets shots no matter what. Fuck. If a couple people drop out of a 145-pound, title shot, Uriah is going to get that shot. He might even get a 170-pound title shot if someone drops out.
Uriah Faber, Nate Diaz.
Yeah. UFC 200.
Oh, man. But the last thing I want to say about Mighty Mouse before we get into the Bones Jones talk, his ability to knock people out at 125 is just kind of mind-boggling because that's the last thing you expect. You know, 125ers, you expect them to be fast, flying over the ring and stuff, whatnot. But this is the second time he's had a first-round knockout that at least I can remember. If I looked at a scorecard, he might have more, but two of his arguably biggest fights, both he knocked the person out in like a minute. Dennis Bermudez and now Henry Cejudo. Tip my cap, and I'm going to appreciate his greatness.
Yeah, me too. And I think, if he was from another country and had that backing, let's say like a Manny Pacquiao, I think that makes him so much bigger. It's kind of sad that the U.S., a la my American fighting system, let's get behind our fighters. Because the guy is huge in Seattle, but let's face it, the UFC never goes to Seattle. That's where he's from. But, I think, you need
Phoenix
to...
Jones.
Him and Phoenix Jones, which, damn, I watched that tape the other day of Phoenix Jones, like, kicking that guy. You gotta love Seattle. Weed is legal, and the cop was there watching Phoenix Jones fight, and he didn't arrest either guy when they both agreed to fight. So funny. Seattle, such a weird... Pretty much, like, not part of America. Such a weird place. Whereas soccer is almost as big as football. But let's fucking go on to the bearded,
this question.
The bearded in shape Kimbo Slice tonight.
I got to ask you this. Because I guess this is just kind of the effect that John Jones has, you know, love him or hate him. But there was something different about this day. This was, you know, other than like a McGregor fan, all day, you know, you knew in your head, regardless, you were going to be watching the John Jones fight, even though it was OSP. Now, I know you love him or hate him, but
got me to buy
for
it.
For you, as a John Jones, someone like, I mean, I don't love the guy either, but you dislike him a little bit more than me. Even the fact, you know, you don't like John Jones, the fact, though, that he was fighting today, did it feel any different, you know, with not just another UFC? Were you excited? Are you glad that John Jones is back from the entertainment standpoint for the fight game? Are you glad that he's back? And going into this fight, you know, what were you kind of thinking going in for game plans? And let's just start off differently. Did OSP just never stand a chance? Was there anything he could have implemented in his game plan? I know you asked you like four questions, but, you know, how you feel about the John Jones fight? Glad to see him back. And start off, what were some of OSP's mistakes from a game plan-wise, or was there just nothing he could do?
Of course I was excited to see John Jones back because he has that Floyd Mayweather not at the level, but and Conor McGregor and Ronda Rousey effect. It's not as big as those other three. I think they are a step above, but John Jones is very close. You know, he's more dominant performances away from becoming, you know, like he already is. Don't get me wrong, but it's just a little bit missing. It's not a Conor McGregor fight. It's not a Ronda fight. But it was also OSP, but it still got me to buy it because he has that ability to where, you know, one, you know he's going to fuck the person up, or you used to know that. Now, I'll touch on that in a second. You know, he's an animal. He's one of the best ever that we're watching. Two, he has all the outside stuff going on, and I think that's better for him, you know, where he's flicking Cormier off, testing positive for cocaine. But he's trying to look like such a, like it seems like everything he's doing is staged. And he has that ability to really make you want him to lose or at least make you want him to see him fight. And not a lot of people have that out there. Like, I got to say, when they hyped up UFC 198 and tried to do the whole hype up about we're doing Stipe, I was like, what the fuck are you doing? That is one of the most stacked cards. Like, we don't care about Razum Stipe. We care about the rest of that card. Like, that watching the Razum Stipe trailer was not like watching John Jones versus fill in the blank, you know? It's just a different level. And I got to say, when I heard or when I saw his entrance into the ring, I had a little bit of goosebumps. Like, it was he picked the perfect song. It's like John Jones has the best publicist and the worst publicist. You know, like, I'm coming home, I'm coming. Like, it was like, wow, he looked so happy to be there. He went out and, you know, hugged all his family members. I think he hugged every single person ever in his life. It took him so long to get in that damn ring. It was like he was hiding a knife in his damn. The guy stood there so long waiting to pat him down for whatever the fuck they pat those guys down for. But, you know, like, he just has that ability to make you tune in. But he also has that ability, all that goodwill, the fans were actually going crazy for him, all that goodwill he can get you to have, he is that guy that can make you turn it around in a second. You're just like, he'll make you just grab your hair out because throughout that fight, he clearly, don't get me wrong, he had ring rust. But it was like, John, you can finish this fight. And I do not think he was used to getting hit. OSP, what he could have done different, he should have blitzed Krieg in the first two rounds. OSP has never been able to make it out of three rounds, better yet five. In all four of his five-round fights, he always gasses out, and especially on 3 weeks' notice. we saw when he actually threw punches, he was landing some hard punches. And it was clear when he had a gas tank, he had the athletic ability, even though in the past he's been able to get, you know, people have been able to take him down, he had the athletic ability to keep John away from him, especially when John has so much ring rust. I feel like OSP should be with better trainers. Eric Kelly from Tennessee, are you kidding me? The guy didn't even work, came out there blitzing John Jones. You have nothing to lose. Like, he was not aggressive at all. And John Jones was not ready at all in that first round. He even said it in his corner on the pay-per-view. I fought shitty. He was so, the fans were so much in his mind, even after the fight. He wanted to perform so bad that he was leaving himself open. And Daniel Cormier, you could hear it in his voice. He knew that, and Daniel Cormier said it perfectly. OSP is leaving a lot of spots where there's no activity. I would not do that. And John Jones even seemed tired himself. OSP, even though it would have worn him out, he should have stayed on John Jones relentlessly. He should have attacked him. He should have at least been gearing up and every 5 seconds been throwing a huge blow to try to knock John Jones out, because that's where you're going to get him. That's how you're going to beat him if you're OSP. And John Jones, to me, all that goodwill he got with the fans, either you love him or you hate him or you're somewhere in between, but I feel like he lost a lot of that goodwill again today. But I'm sorry, that Daniel Cormier fight, it's too hyped up now. Cormier lost his golden opportunity to take advantage of Jones, and he knows it, but it's the perfect main event. And I feel like that John Jones got away tonight, because if it was a Rumble Johnson, if it was even a Glover or somebody else that has that better knockout ability and better technical abilities, because let's face it, OSP thought he was getting taken down that whole fight. He was scared. He knew that John could have took him down. And that's how he fought. He tried to keep the distance. And everyone coming into this fight said, you could not stand on the outside and let John Jones tee off on you with leg kicks and body kicks. And that's exactly what he did. But if Rumble or Glover would have landed with that right hand that OSP did, it probably would have been lights out for John Jones. Though, maybe John Jones has the best chin in MMA, and we just don't know about it. Andrew, if you think, if this was Rumble or Daniel Cormier, do you think Jones would have gotten up for the performance a little bit more? Like, do you think he underrated his opponent? Or do you think he was just that rusty?
You know, Ryan, I was thinking
about
this.
Do you think they would have beat
him,
as, you know,
I definitely think DC could have beat John. Definitely think Rumble could have beat John. Glover would have been closer, but I would have gave him a good shot, too. This was the first time. John Jones is a guy we've been watching. We watched him grow up, you know, in the UFC. You know what I mean, Ryan?
Yeah.
We watched, and the moment has never looked too big for him his entire life. And I don't want to call it ring rush, but I think it was pressure. This was the first time I've seen
the
John Jones
a little
fight.
Bit.
Yeah, this is the first time I've seen a John Jones fight where the moment was just looked too big for him. He was fighting. He thought he had too much to lose and too much was at stake. First, you know, there's the let's go back to this. You were just stripped of the belt. All your legal problems. He even has more legal problems for drag racing. You know, he has a court date. He's got a trial date after this. You know what I mean? He's been trying so hard. He even, you know, I found myself liking John Jones a little bit more going into this fight, because it seems like he's been starting to embrace the bad boy role. And watching this fight, Ryan, especially in the third or fourth round, it kind of reminded me of one of those weird Anderson fights, like when he fought Damian Maia and he was just toying with him, and you're kind of waiting for him to finish him, and he just never finished him. The fact that John was afraid to go all out at the end of round four to finish him when OSP was laying on his back in the fetal position with his hands up looking at Herb Dean to save his life. I mean, Ryan, because I couldn't hear any noise on the stream, I thought Herb Dean just called the fight at the end of round four. I didn't even know it was going to round five. To this day, I won't know how John Jones finished him. And so definitely DC, part of you have to wonder, was he just too afraid not to get caught by OSP? That's why I wasn't fighting that good. I think the pressure was too much. He got the fight under his belt, and you're right, Ryan. This was almost a blessing. It was a blessing that DC got hurt and John didn't have to fight him. And he was able to get that fight to kind of get the feel for it again. And something I had a big crack up about, Ryan, Dana, back to his normal promotional dickhead moves. You see when he gives John Jones the belt, he mutters something to John. The very first thing John Jones is, holds up the Monster energy drink to the camera, and that Dana, he gave the belt, like, all right, man, be sure you hold that Monster energy drink up to the camera so we get the little, we get the shot.
And you know, he also made him put on the Reebok shirt, which took seconds. Instead of the, you know, in the moment you put the belt around his waist, instead it took 20 seconds and he muttered to Joe Rogan, I heard it, we got. And he either said Robbie Lawler verse, and I thought I heard ZSP, and that was kind of a hot mic moment. But come on, these guys got to put on their goddamn Reebok shirts. Like, come on, it was just
put on some Reebok shoes, socks, no heart
of
the moment.
If it's a goddamn war and a guy wins a belt, like if it was Henry Cejudo, and he went through a 5-round war and won the belt for the first time. He's got to wait fucking 30 seconds so he can put that Reebok shirt on. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
It's funny.
Yeah.
But Ryan, real quick, 4 minutes left. I'll get my quick final thoughts on it. At the end of the day, I'm really happy John Jones won. I was rooting for him for this fight just because with the way things have been going in MMA, the one fight I'm living for right now is DC John Jones. This has this Conor McGregor Jose Aldo feel to it. I've completely forgotten that DC and John Jones have fought before. I'm at that point. So I'm really happy he won. There's no way John Jones can fight this same type of way against DC. It looked like he was reeling and pressing and just trying to get that highlight reel head kick knockout. OSP never stood a chance. It's really a waste of athletic talent with the trainer he's at and kind of the thing.
Oh, yeah.
It looked like a guy who just did not know what he was doing on a technical level. He didn't stand a chance with
he's
John
so
at a technical
he's
level.
So
very
sloppy.
Where's his jab?
Where is his jab? He's like swinging like a girl does with his left hand.
A fight that John didn't throw a punch till round 3. But Ryan, he won. Last question I got to ask you before it ends. Is DC John Jones the biggest fight coming up in recent, will this be better than Conor, bigger than Conor? Just what are your thoughts on this fight coming up? How big is it?
Hell no, it ain't bigger than Conor, Nate. That's Conor McGregor you're talking about. Let's be serious now. I know, John, this is his moment, but his whole fight week got outshined by Conor McGregor putting one tweet out there.
Yeah.
Come on, that's Conor McGregor. But this is the biggest rivalry ever. The guys who hate each other more than anyone has ever hated each other stepping into an octagon. John Jones even flipped them out on his way out, and they almost got in a side their last press conference. These guys hate each other, and DC stays professional tonight on commentary. I got to say, Joe Rogan, you should be looking over your shoulder because DC is the best commentary guy I've heard. He stayed professional. He talked about how great John Jones is. But he also didn't hold back. He said it would be a different fight if I was in there, and you could tell how disappointed he was. I do got to say, John Jones is one of the greatest, but tonight he definitely did not have a great performance, and it shows how weak that division is when OSP is the number 6 guy. That guy has
what?
No business being number 6. He has no business, and Ryan Bader is number 5. He has no business.
God.
Being in the ring with John Jones, but it was 3 weeks' notice. Maybe it could have been a different fight, but I do not agree with the commentary that when OSP goes 5 rounds with John Jones, his life is going to change. It's not Conor McGregor. Ronda beating these girls, their life doesn't change. Conor is the only guy with that ability. But yes, OSP will always have that. Yes, I fought John Jones. But he was not impressive enough. I just think John Jones, yes, he looked rusty. He wasn't great, but his opposition was even worse. OSP just completely did not show up and did not look like he wanted to be in there. He looked like a scared cat. I know he stood up to those takedowns and everything and all that, but if you're the number six guy in the world, a pat on the back for being able to survive, it's just not good enough. We're paying for